You don't have a middle and
Arthur B. Jones is.
Okay. Arthur B. Jones, June 21st, 2006. Okay, the first question that we ask is, or that I ask is, the war started in 39 and then Pearl Harbor in 41. Do you remember hearing about the starting of the war, Pearl Harbor? What were you thinking? What were your parents thinking?
Well, I was in, we had cattle down at my Uncle Joe Jones's down by Satana, mm-hmm. on pasture, and it was June or something that we were sitting there in a four. I was sitting there in a 41 Ford, him and my brother and my cousin, and looking at the cattle that we had down there on them, and that was when they said that they bombed Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm. How old?
But I don't remember.
Okay. You don't remember hearing about the war before
then? Well, yes, I've heard about it, but when, I don't know, mm-hmm. you know.
When you heard about the bombing of Pearl Harbor, did you even think that you might have to go to war or what?
Oh, yes, I thought everybody's mm-hmm. going to have to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we're going to fight them and the Germans both.
Right, yeah. Okay. Were you drafted or did you enlist?
I was drafted. One of my brother, Harold, was single, mm-hmm. and he was going to, he wanted to go, but he had something in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went down to try to get in the Air Corps, and then I went in the, let's see, I should have brought my damn discharge and all that stuff. But I went Karen was born in 1942, and I was in basic training at that time.
Okay, so
I was September, I think, something when I went in, 14th maybe,
mm-hmm.
of 42.
And did you get in the Air Corps?
No, I had high blood pressure. I couldn't get in the Air Corps, so I came back and just went drafted.
Okay.
But I wanted to fly one of them P-47s
mm-hmm.
that helped us a lot in the war.
Mm-hmm.
They were a big old plane, but they, and well armored and everything, but they just, like one fellow said, they didn't make the damn thing to fly. You had to fly it.
It's yeah. Where did you do your basic training?
Camp Roberts, California.
Okay, all right. And could you maybe describe basic training, what you did, how you felt?
Why, yeah, I had a good buddy there, Paul Rickson.
Oh, okay. Did you join together?
Well, we got together. They was marching you all down to see what you was best in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up and there went old Paul in the Jeep. And I hollered at him and the sergeant, he called a halt right then and there, you know, and old Paul jumped out and come back and told him, he'd be all right. He said, I'll have him everywhere you are, but he was going to ride with me. And I did.
Okay.
And that night when I got back to the barracks, everybody was gone. There wasn't anybody there. Mm-hmm. Paul and I went out and ate, but the next morning, he was there and knew where I was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And I was in instrument survey, same thing he was in,
mm-hmm.
only he was in the sergeant in the second platoon, and they'd took their bunch a week before,
mm-hmm.
and I was in the first platoon that time,
mm-hmm.
but I was next door to him.
Okay.
And
all right.
And he saw my daughter and went down to L.A. and brought them up there,
mm-hmm.
and so Karen.
So your wife and daughter went to camp?
Yeah, they mm-hmm. followed me all the way till okay. I went overseas.
Okay, and what was your basic training like?
Well, it was something everybody should have. If they're going to go fight a war, you can't go out of a drugstore into a battleship and fight a battle, that okay. is for sure.
Was it a lot of marching?
Oh, well, it was some, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was everything. It covered. You could... you learned about your artillery piece and everything else. Anybody went through basic training could either maybe be on a cannon or instrument survey. But I was a battery agent that I had my own Jeep and I worked out of message center, but I was from A battery, but I worked in headquarters battery.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you choose to go into instrument surveying or did they put you?
They said that or an ordnance. I could take each one, either one.
All right. And during basic training, were you trained for that?
No. Okay. See, when they had me down in the instrument survey before I went into the instrument survey thing.
Okay.
You had to make up your mind before it started. Mm-hmm.
So after basic, where did you go?
I went to El Cajon, California.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a block down there. And they had the 219th Field Artillery. And the cadre was waiting on us rookies from basic training.
Mm-hmm.
The non-coms and everything was made, and they were all from Hutchinson, Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And so that, and then we stayed there about a month, I think, and then we went to San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know what it is. Well, anyway, we all got together. They brought the whole battalion, whole division in together.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there, and while I was there, there's several things happened. This new captain walked out Christmas morning. It was Christmas morning, too, I believe. In there. And so this old boy said, one of you guys come over, we'll blow their tents down. We was all freezing, and we was out in the sun, you know, down there. And he said, one of you guys come and drive me to San Diego. Of course, Paul Rickson told me, he said, don't drive no damn old Jeep. You left a wash it and put it up every night. He said, you just got a job on your hands. So I didn't say anything. And finally, he said, pointed his finger at me and he said, where are you from? And I said, inducted in Cimarron, Kansas. And he said, do you know, God, I can think of his name anytime, but he's in there with Luther, you know who he is. The boy is still there.
Not Wagner, something else.
No, not Wagner. He was in with the Luthers.
Okay. Just keep talking and you'll remember it.
Yeah. And that's maybe it was new him. Well, he was the only millionaire, I think, in Kansas at that one time.
Okay.
He lived right out there by the golf course. And his son, he died. Now his son has took bankruptcy or something.
Oh, Warner.
Warner. He said, do you know Bill Warner? And I said, sure do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, get over here and drive me to San Diego. So I drove him for a week, and when we come back, I told him, I said, my wife is up in Paso Robles at Camp Roberts. He said, well, I'll give you a 3-day pass when we get back, and you go get her, and I'll have a place for her to live when she gets down here, when you get back. And so that's what I done. And when I got back, he had a young couple, and they had a baby he could walk.
Mm-hmm.
But they both worked in the airplane factory in San Diego, and they just took us right in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went, and when they mobilized the whole division, why, we all went up there, first time I had to pay any income tax. Now, hell, I didn't know. I got a notice, you know. He said, I'll give you a 15-day furlough. You can go home and take care of it. So I did, and I brought the car back then. I had a 41 Ford, and Karen and Dom and I came back in it. And then we go, Lord and behold, we're going to move to Alabama. So Oh, and in the meantime, I was supposed to take care of his clothes, you know, and shine his shoes and all that. And when I got back from the fifth trip, he said, Jones, he said, I just made you a corporal. But he said, I want to tell you that I can't buy rum for you and me both. Mm-hmm. I'd go in, he had a rum bottle in his boot. I'd take a shot every morning. But he was a kitten, you know, but uh-huh. he didn't wasn't that way. But and so we had I think it was 7 days traveling time between there. So we went home and spent 4 or 5 days at home again.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on down to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. And were you getting ready then to go overseas?
No, that was we went to Alabama, and then we went to Tennessee maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that was when we was about ready to go overseas.
Okay, and in all these places, were you being trained with the instrument surveying, or?
No.
No?
No, I went with the headquarters. I think they give us a test one day. I don't know how, I thought about it afterwards. But they had a bunch of us in there, and they read something to us, you know, and then we wrote a thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then I was made corporal.
Okay.
That I could repeat it after, and I was worked with the colonel a whole lot, and mm-hmm. If he ever wanted to, well, when he got killed, I was with him, but he got killed, and
mm-hmm.
Sergeant Van Gundy got killed, and he got killed all first day of war when we was going for St. Lo.
Hmm. What was the corporal's name?
The corporal?
Mm-hmm.
You mean?
The one that you, oh no, I'm sorry, the one that you were sort of an aide to.
The captain?
The captain.
Captain Brown.
Okay,
Captain Brown.
All right. Okay, so when you were moving around, you were moving with your group.
Yeah.
And he was...
He was the captain till we got overseas.
Okay.
And then he was he went to headquarters. He was a major, I believe, in that.
Mm-hmm. Did you know when you were getting ready to go overseas, did you know what you were going to be doing over there?
Yes, we knew what we're going over there.
They told you before you got over there.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. We was going over there and get our machine, get our equipment, and get it dubbing. And we had to put, you know, so it was going. They dumped us out in water.
Mm-hmm.
But then there wasn't anybody in them pill boxes of them Germans shooting at us like it was 15 days before that.
Right. So this was in July of 1944.
Well, whatever it was, I don't know. But that. But they dumped us out in water,
mm-hmm.
and I had my old Jeep dumbing the windshield up, and I had about that much rubber hose sticking above it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got pretty close to the top of my windshield,
mm-hmm.
and I'm an old Kansas boy that all I had was a water tank to take a shower.
That's right. Well, did you land in England first?
Yes, we mm-hmm. landed in England first.
Okay.
And we stayed there, I don't know how long it was. Well, but we had got our machinery, we'd got all our equipment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Wales on a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And while we was out there, that's when D-Day started.
Okay.
And so we went back and got all of our machinery. I had to put dubbing all over my engine of my Jeep and get it all ready. And then we drove it... We drove it down to got on one of them little old boats that dropped the nose down, you know. It had, I think, my Jeep and Holcomb's Jeep and maybe a truck or two.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you put on the Jeep's engine?
They called it dubbing or something. You put it up to seal the cracks and everything. We had to... Could be no water got in any wires or any carburetor or anything.
Okay.
The carburetor was all sealed up, and it right up to get its air was up by the side of the windshield on mm-hmm. your...
That was the pipe you
yeah,
were
yeah, that was
hose.
The one that, if that got, water got going down with that, buddy, you might as well get out and start walking.
Okay.
If you could.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And what other equipment did you have to gather?
That's all I had to look after is my Jeep.
Okay. And you knew that you were going to be driving that
yeah.
Jeep as you moved forward.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And when we landed, why, we landed in hedgerow countries. Mm-hmm. The first thing that we had to put up with was they'd always send somebody with me, because they'd pick out one guy if he was running a Jeep or something. That was, and the women, some of the French women was shooting us. That's what was happening. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, they'd string a piano wire across there, and then they'd want to cut our heads off. Mm-hmm. Well, some old farmer figured out a thing that went up on the Jeep, and then had a thing high enough, and then it kind of went forward to catch that wire, and that stopped that business.
Okay.
So, but there was two things was pretty critical right there when we first started. Mm-hmm. That we hadn't anticipated.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you landed on the beaches, those people who had landed had already moved in.
Yeah.
And had you heard?
Well,
about,
but you know, there wasn't too much difference. There was a 6 mile. They said when we landed, there was 6 miles that was used. Mm-hmm. Or that was where we had 6 miles there. Mm-hmm. But what I couldn't understand, how come somebody couldn't take, we didn't take St. Lo either the first time.
Yeah.
Our battalion was the one that started to take St. Lo, and when they all got killed. Mm-hmm. And then the 134th Infantry out of the 35th Division finally took St. Lo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's right by the Normandy Beach.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know how many else tried it, but it was a pretty good job to, mm-hmm.
So
to take St. Lo.
It was still very dangerous when you moved in.
Yeah, but the 35th took it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a good division.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name was, or, oh, what was that, Blood and Guts?
Oh, Patton.
Patton was our commander.
All right.
He was over the Third Army, and that took in, they had, in each combat team, we had combat teams to take all them towns.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take off in the morning, and sometimes we'd drive, we'd hit some objects, we'd just pull off the road, if artillery went in, started shooting, infantry was in trucks, they got out, we knocked them out of the road and went on down the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's how the war was fought, that's how we got across there. Hell, we'd have been there yet if we'd have been pushed them a foot at a time.
Yeah.
But that's how we... Mm-hmm. And when we got down there, we was in the bulge,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. Were you prepared at all for what you had to do when you got over there?
Oh yeah, I knew what I had to do. I had the colonel would tell me what to tell the captain, and the captain would tell me what I was to tell the colonel, and mm-hmm. and if I would have got it all twisted up, I wouldn't have lasted long.
So, what was your official duty? Were you running? Were you in communications?
Or? Yeah. Well, I stayed at the message center.
Okay.
When they decoded messages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked right out of there.
Okay.
Whenever a message come for me, just like a mail carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something come to him, and I had to go in the morning, get morning reports. How many guys, they'd have to know how many guys we had or how many we lost last night or mm-hmm. something, and I had to get a morning report, and then I had to get the mail for them, and I was on the road all the time.
Mm-hmm. But, and you always had someone with you?
No.
No, just in...
Just that first.
Okay.
And then I had to go to the infantry, not every night, but a lot of nights.
Mm-hmm.
When the patrols go out, when they come in, they'll make overlays, and I now take them back to my battery to shoot in the morning before they jump off.
Okay.
So I'd get up to go up and find the infantry in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock. They usually, mm-hmm. that's about the time I'd leave my battery, but they'd show me on a map where the infantry CP was, and mm-hmm. that's what I'd drive to. And
mm-hmm. Now, did you drive without lights?
Just them little bitty ones.
Okay. Did you ever get lost?
Well, no. You didn't get lost. You studied that pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to. You couldn't make it. If you made a mistake, you had it. That's yeah. all.
When did you sleep?
Well, whenever I could, they could catch me asleep. They'd never wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever did that.
Yeah. Okay.
But we didn't do a whole lot of sleeping for a while.
No, I'm sure not. So as you moved through the path or the route that you have showed me, can you maybe talk about your impression of what you were doing, of war in general, of the countryside?
Well, it was just a new war. We'd drive into a town and take it over,
mm-hmm.
and we'd stay there all night. The next morning, we'd go on to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And unless something happened that we... And when we got to New Orleans, I'll never forget that place.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the girls, they was cutting their hairs off, any of them that can talk to the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they remembered all that business.
Okay.
And then when we was capturing them, I think we could have made a little mistake ourselves, but we was getting them pretty fast. But what we'd do, there was a couple of Frenchmen come up, you know, and they had little old guns. They wanted to help. So we thought we'd let them march them prisoners back to where they were supposed to be, and we'd get the rest of them. But we only let that go one time, because I think they just went around the corner, and
mm-hmm.
them Germans was gone. They just boop, boop, and they was right back wanting some more. So.
Yeah.
I said, no, I think you took the last you're going to take anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And if where did the what did you do with the prisoners? You took them back to a holding
Well, room? Yeah, they had holding places for them.
Okay.
Yeah, when we got quite a few of them in in Orleans.
And were they ready to give up, or was it hard?
Oh, you couldn't tell. You can't tell. You can't say anybody was ready to give up in that army about
mm-hmm.
about the time you thought he was giving up. Why he'd probably shoot you if he had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
War is hell. Now that's all you can say about
mm-hmm.
it.
How long did it take you to figure that out once you got over there?
Well, I knew that, you know, this Hitler, he would have been over here.
Mm-hmm.
He had the stuff to do it with. I knew we had to whip him.
Mm-hmm.
So we whipped him now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as you moved, that was sort of a routine. You just moved into a town, took it, and then did members of the army stay there to hold that town? Or?
No, we just went right on through.
Okay.
One town come around the corner, and there was a 88 gun sitting there, and had guys just kind of around it. But the tanks, the 4th Armored Tank was the one we were with, and them guys, it just burned them stiff. They were still standing right there by that tank.
Oh.
You could see anything.
Yeah. How did you cope with that?
Well, you just had to, if you thought about it, you'd go nuts. A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did try to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When the day was over, we'd have another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned you were right at the Battle of the Bulge.
Yes, we were there. I can show you on this map.
Here, I'll get it for you. Was it as cold as everyone said?
Yes, it was cold, and then a little colder.
Okay.
I don't know. Karen stuck in pictures there.
Okay.
And, all right. And here's where the first town. Well, here's where we were in Nancy's, where we run out of fuel.
Right.
We had to stop there, and then we backed up and a little ways. But we had a dam up here that we could. That was when we run out of fuel and run out of the shells and everything. So
mm-hmm.
we backed up to this little town. I don't know, but we went to Nancy to get Baz and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this little old town, we could blow out that dam if and save ourselves if that's why we went back too, or we did.
Okay.
So we could blow that dam.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we took off after Wenatchee, Sarga Mines was the first town we got in to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And just the night we took Sarga Mines, we got a march order to go back here to Metz.
Okay.
They wanted us to come up here to Bastogne.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the, they was about to take Bastogne, you know, that guy said nuts to him.
Yeah.
And then the bad weather come and they about had him.
Mm-hmm.
But, and in a show after I seen where old Patton told Eisenhower, he said, Eisenhower wanted to know who could get up there quick, and the old Patton said, well, hell, I've got somebody within 40 miles of there now, and that was us.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving here, we stayed all night in Metz.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drove up there the next day.
Okay.
And then we helped him win that war.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, the weather broke, and the airplanes flew, and we could see what we was doing, and we took care of them Germans. That's where we won the war, right
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned.
Right, yeah, okay. Was this an industrial city over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Sarga Mines.
And that's why you would have gone over there.
I suppose, well, they had different, in these other towns, here coming out of Paris, I don't know where Paris is, right up in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was ahead of these guys that come out of Paris, and we just sat there and caught them.
Mm-hmm.
They was coming down the road. They didn't know we was ahead of them.
Oh, I see.
And we had just like a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a section of them out there all lined up, but you know, kind of worried you or the what they could come up with.
That's
you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But everything turned out all right.
Yeah. Well, when you would go into here, I can take this.
You bet.
When you would go into a town where there was a factory or something, would you destroy things like that? Or
no, they was already destroyed. Boy, the Air Corps took care of them. I'll tell you, they made it a lot easier for us. Boy,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I'll give the Air Corps, I'll give anybody credit.
Okay.
The Air Corps and everybody to work together, and I don't believe it could have worked any better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so after your participation in the Battle of the Bulge, you kept moving on.
Yeah, we went, then's when we separated from Patton.
Mm-hmm.
It showed him where he went back.
Oh.
And then we went on up to the Dutch, the Holland.
Right.
It's where the windmills
mm-hmm.
turned. And then we went over and was helping out, we went to help out this here English guy. Montgomery. Yeah, and that's, we was helping them when I got the Silver Star, and somebody from Britain gave me they say it was the Queen Mother, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hell, just because I was a Welshman, that's the reason she did that.
And what was the commendation with the Silver Star?
Same as this, it read the same thing, and after my wife died, I can't find it nowhere.
Okay.
But I told Karen, and told her, and told her to go to the English. She probably will when I die. She'll go and get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did you receive it at the time, or was this when you were discharged that you received these medals?
Well, this all came. I could have went to England, or I could have went to New York, and the last thing they gave me was to go to, and I was cutting wheat when all this thing was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they said now I'd have to come to Kansas City, and I said, just send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of the Army, and I didn't know what the thing, really what it meant.
Right.
But it meant that I got out of the Army before a lot of these guys that went in the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, I think, was 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 10 more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they took a year for each one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so then you went up into the Netherlands, and then?
We come down the Elbe River.
Okay.
And there's where, it's down here, I don't know, what's the name
Maastricht?
Of that?
Maastricht.
Huh? Yeah.
Maastricht?
No, that ain't it, is it?
Here, let me get that again. here?
Yeah. It says on there.
Erpen.
Erpen, Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it was. And that's where my buddy got killed.
Okay. The one in the picture?
This one right there on this side.
Okay.
Not the one in the middle, the other one.
Right.
And him and I, I got a Sub Thompson from a kid that come in from the Air Corps. Mm-hmm. I told him, you can't use that here, but you give that Sub Thompson to me and I'll use it.